Hey everyone, my name's Adam West. I play Adam West on the podcast I'm Not Adam West. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Davis and I have been thrilled with the feedback we've been getting so far and can't believe that people actually want to listen to the weird things that we have to say. We've had a few people ask, how can they help with the show? So I wanted to give all of our listeners something that they could do that's super important and would be super helpful. We need people to go and leave reviews for us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast at. The more views we get, the more visible our podcast becomes. So please, please help me live up to my namesake, Adam West, and go and review our podcast. Thanks. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about famous people and the names they share with less famous people who may or may not deserve to be the famous one. I'm talking about I'm Not Adam West. I'm Davis, and as always, I'm joined by none other than Adam West.
Hey, Davis. How's it going today, man?
It's going well. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Sitting here. I have some scotch today instead of the usual beer. Hope that now I won't be burping in the mic for this. So, it's a good switch over.
You did. I think we did catch one on last recording, and I made you leave it in there. So, well, how you been? What's going on?
I'm good, man. Another week in Austin. Been swamped with doing a lot of editing and whatnot, but really, really pretty good. Just normal week for me. Nothing too big to speak of.
Cool.
Nope. What about yourself, sir?
Yeah, it's been good. Normal week pretty much. This week, fun, an exciting thing happened. One of my favorite board games right now. You know I'm an avid board gamer. A game called Scythe, designed by Jamie Stegmaier, came out with a digital edition. So I'm one of the beta testers for the Steam version of Scythe Digital. So came out yesterday. Saw the post on Facebook yesterday. And so I stayed up till probably 1:15 in the morning. Playing my first game of Scythe on the computer.
What kind of game is this?
So it's sort of like for if you're not a board gamer, or if you know a little bit about board games, if you've ever played Settlers of Catan, it's sort of like a cross between Settlers of Catan and that there are these hexes, these six-sided spaces on a board that you can control and that produce resources for you. But it's also kind of like Risk in that you could turn those resources into more pieces that you can put out on this board to fight other people and build some buildings and things like that. So very fun. Guys, some guys here have been playing it pretty regularly. And it's cool that it's on the computer now so that I can sit by myself in the dark late at night when no one will play with me and still get my Scythe fix in. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've actually starting to play D&D myself, or Dungeons and Dragons.
Right on.
Kind of hand in hand with the whole doing improv and taking those classes, just to kind of push creativity. And so I've listened to The Adventure Zone.
Yes.
Which is, you know, the well-known popular podcast, and it's kind of geared around Dungeons and Dragons. And so you know, when you just like see something that you really like, so you're like, I should do that thing because they made it look cool. So
absolutely.
We play on Wednesday nights, which is great, but I feel like I'm really bad at the game in general. I think I've almost died like 7 times, and maybe that's a typical thing, but all of my creative ideas seem to somehow get me more injured than anything.
Yeah, dude, I feel like that is so. Dungeons and Dragons has a lot to do with rolling dice and whatever the dice say. If you roll high numbers on the dice, you get to do whatever you wanted to do, and if you roll low numbers, it's going to fail in some usually spectacular way. And I feel like you could be as creative and as fun and as engaging as possible, but if the dice don't come up your way, you're kind of hosed.
Oh yeah. So it's been a very back and forth situation, but you know, the whole purpose is to be creative for me. And so I'm definitely getting that out of it. I'm definitely having to be innovative with the game itself. And so that's, you know, the initial goal is still fine. So
that's awesome. Very cool. Are you excited about the Avengers movie that's coming up next week?
I'm pseudo excited about it. I'm one of those people who's kind of lost steam with some of these superhero movies. Yeah. I mean, I grew up loving superhero movies and I still really like them. And like Thor Ragnarok was by far one of my favorites. Obviously Black Panther was really good. But I like, there's just a few other ones that have kind of deaded out for me. And so I would say I'm about 50-50 on my excitement level.
Okay.
I think I'm excited to see it, but I could also see, like, there's so many people in this movie. I just don't know how it's going to be able to capture all of them in a good way, you know?
That makes sense. Trying to get those characters' screen time and meaningful screen time is going to be crazy. But, I mean, I'm a big fan of... I loved Thor Ragnarok. I thought it was wonderful. Black Panther was awesome. I'm a big fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And so that's probably my favorite, like, Marvel, you know, series, miniseries. And so I'm excited to see them with the rest of the Avengers. I think it's going to be cool. But I'm asking, one, because, you know, I want to talk to you as a friend and get your opinion. But two... because that movie sort of ties into who we're going to be talking about this week.
Yeah, so this week we have the first Avenger, Chris Evans. He's kind of just like your average. He seems, from my research, just like your typical clean cut actor.
Right.
So that's kind of a good thing about him. So if you don't know who Chris Evans is, yes, he plays Captain America in the Avengers/Captain America movies. Chris Evans was born June 13th, 1981 in Boston, Massachusetts. He graduated from New York University's Tisch School of Arts. And so he's, you know, just kind of done the actor path for a while. I thought this was kind of a cool thing. I didn't know if we should leave it for fun facts. But his first real thing that he did was in 1991, he was a model for Tyler in a Hasbro board game called Mystery Date.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I went and looked this board game up, and he's just sitting there like little baby him, just on the front of the cover. And so it seems like a very girl sleepover, right? Party game. It had like a cell phone attachment, and I'm sure that like played into the whole thing a bit. And so, I mean, it's called Mystery Date. So
I'm looking at it right now. Sure thing. He's like a surfer dude. He's like a surfer dude named Ty.
Lounged out over there. It's kind of weird to be like, oh wow, that's him.
That's hilarious.
The special edition of this game apparently came with the electronic phone, in which he would hit one of his voices was like on it.
Nice.
And so, yeah.
Oh, that was a picture from in the game. He's on the cover of the game, and he's like, he's blue. First of all, he's all in blue shade, and he's like reclining, one arm behind his head on the phone. Classic. Everybody's dream.
Very like dreamy for middle school girls. Hilarious. At that point. And so his first known or big known movie was Not Another Teen Movie, which, did you ever watch this movie?
No, never seen any of them.
I feel like I've seen it. It was a long time ago.
Probably on TV late at night or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but then he did another few movies that you might have heard of. The Perfect Score, which I definitely saw. It was like an MTV movie that came out about kind of changing test scores to pass, and he was like the jock kid. And he so went on to start. This is actually where he started doing his first rendition of like a superhero, where he was Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four.
Right.
So his first like walk into this comic book world, it was very okay. I mean, now we all know him as Captain America, and I think that has stuck much better. Some of my favorite movies with him. He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Great movie.
Love that movie. Yes. And Snowpiercer, yes. If you ever watched that one.
So Snowpiercer, I think, is one of the most under the radar best movies I've seen in a long time. That might be my favorite Chris Evans movie. I think it's so good.
Yeah. And he's just like, it's very simple. It's a train, like front to back, like the whole thing is kind of shot in one location. And so, but it does a lot in that circumstance. I mean, there's a fight scene in the middle of it where it's basically they're going in and out between a tunnel. And so you're only catching like bits and pieces of this fight. And it's kind of like paying homage to a movie called Old Boy.
Yep.
That I think the director had like something to do with that.
Yeah, well, because it was Snowpiercer was like a collaboration movie between the US and South Korea, I believe.
Yeah. So thought that was awesome. So yeah, Snowpiercer's up there for me. So but all in all, I mean, he's pretty well known now. Seems like a good guy so far. So we'll see if he stands up to the test of being the Chris Evans.
So that's probably the most famous, most well-known Chris Evans. And so as we do in this podcast, we're going to talk about some other Chris Evanses that maybe potentially deserve to be the more well-recognized Chris Evans. So I'll mention a couple that we're not going to dive into too deeply, but I think they're interesting and worth pointing out. There is a Christopher Evans who was born Christopher Evans Kawisi was his last name. He's actually a Ugandan singer. He actually composes and sings in a genre of Ugandan music that's known as Kidandali, which is kind of interesting. So Kidandali itself is it's a word from the Ganda language, which can mean like a local party or a celebration. So it's kind of this upbeat, celebratory type of music that this guy, Chris Evans, sings in. Chris Evans, kind of an inspirational story. His mother actually died when he was a baby, and his dad died when he was really only 13 or 14 years old. But he paid for his own elementary and middle school education by working like at construction sites or working at the school he attended. So literally kind of a pull himself up by his bootstraps. Even as like an elementary school kid, which is crazy.
Did you go and listen to this artist?
No, I actually haven't listened to him yet. I kind of want to, but that's probably something I should have done before I talked about him for a little bit.
I didn't mean to throw him in the bus. I wonder what this music sounds like.
You know? As soon as we get done with this, I'm for sure going to look him up and see if I can hear his stuff. He's one of Uganda's most popular musicians of the 21st century. There's a Ugandan music website that listed him as one of the best Ugandan music artists of all time. So he's found success in his country as a singer. He actually sings in his native tongue primarily, which is a language called Luganda. So it's one of the major languages in Uganda. And so interesting that he's like taken his heritage and his culture and run with it. And he's found success there, even starting from really nothing. I mean, making his own way even in middle school. That's Chris Evans, who is a musician. And then last one I want to mention, there's a guy named Chris Evans who is an Australian politician. I'm only bringing him up for this one quote. There was kind of this back and forth. He resigned from the Australian Senate in 2013. And then this one guy wrote in a book about how at some point when he was a foreign minister, he had vetoed this decision to appoint somebody else to be the Australian ambassador to Turkey. And he didn't name him, but later on it was confirmed that this actually was Chris Evans, that he was going to be sent to be the Australian ambassador in Turkey. And so he was contacted, Chris Evans was contacted by a newspaper, and he confirmed that he had that conversation about that post, but that nothing went anywhere. And then it says when he was asked about being posted to Turkey, he jokingly said, "I'm more of a chicken man." So just like goofy Australian humor of like, "I'm not really a turkey guy. I'm kind of a chicken guy."
Yeah. Way to marginalize an entire country to, you know, poultry. That's lovely. He should probably not be the ambassador for the.
Maybe that's why he resigned. That's why he retired. Maybe he was forced out. But yeah, because that's like a good, maybe like a good second grade joke when we learned that there's a country called Turkey. But as a grown man who's a politician, to make that joke, maybe not the most sensitive thing in the world. Yeah.
Or like the just epitome of dad joke right there.
That's true.
Like his kid asked him the same question and he answered it that way. And so I was like, yeah, next time someone asks me that, I'm going to just say this.
That's a great point. He is married with two sons. So it very much could be that he is. It just was a straight up dad joke.
Yeah, it was like his kids were like, "Dad, don't say that in public." And he was like, I'm going to say that in public for sure.
He wrote it down in his notebook to be able to have it ready to say whenever someone asks
him. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Anyway, those are a few lesser known Chris Evans who still I think are worth mentioning.
Cool. You ready to get into the heavy hitters?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So my first up to bat here is Christopher Evans, who goes by. He is a science fiction author, born in 1951 in Wales, and so he was kind of a science fiction author is his claim to fame. And so he wrote a bunch of different books, both kid books and adult fiction, kind of in this style of like alternate like reality based on like truth, you know. So right. Like in my head it's kind of like The if you've watched the TV show Man in the High Castle,
yeah,
which if you haven't, you should watch.
I know,
it.
I've heard
so
great things.
Good. I love it. It's about like it, what if the Germans would have won World War II?
Yeah,
what
so sort of
there,
alternate history fiction.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which is one of my like favorite genres of books. So I actually am probably going to get some of this guy's books after it because one of my favorite books is called Alas, Babylon.
Yeah.
It's just kind of an interesting thing slash terrifying.
Yeah.
Just the book was so great to read and slash also terrifying. But so he wrote a few kind of in that genre. Notably, his first book was called Aztec Century, cool. Which kind of got him a lot of acclaim for this one, which I thought it's actually a pretty interesting story. Again, along the same lines, but it basically goes into this alternate history of if the Aztec Empire would have conquered Britain.
Interesting.
Yeah, so in this world, Cortez, when he sailed over, he changed sides and basically, yeah, it just kind of turns the tides. And then it goes up into the point of like an alternate 20th century of like if the Aztec Empire would have been technologically sophisticated, okay. Like this global power. And so it talks a lot about how like timelines differ from like them adopting Christianity,
right.
And what would have happened with like Napoleon and all the way up and even the like American Revolution and how that kind of plays into it and whatnot. So yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I would love to read this book for sure.
Okay.
And it seems like, you know, anything I've seen kind of like the Man of the High Castle, it all bases on like a not too far away kind of like history point, like focal point again,
right.
From like World War II. But this one's going all the way back. And so I'm wondering like how long it took him to kind of like basically create this whole alternate like stemming history for centuries and centuries. So you usually don't get to see such a big change, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and then he got a lot of acclaim for that one. And then he won a British Science Fiction Association Award for his book called Omega,
right.
Which again, sounds very interesting to me. This came out in 2008, and it is an alternate reality where, there's basically an armed conflict between the USSR and the European Alliance. And the main character, he basically like switches consciousness, like his, it seems like kind of this meta thing where he was on one side of the war and now he's on the other, like his cognate self is on the other side of the war, like fighting as a person from the USSR side. And so, yeah, I'm kind of like just the metaphysics of that and how that happens. I'm kind of interested in and whatnot. So,
yeah, you got to check it out.
Yeah, I love like science fiction. I'm all about right now. I mean, we've talked about this.
Right.
Ender's Game is one of my favorite novels.
Yeah.
Like, just in the whole series is really good. And so, yeah, I'm always kind of a nerd to read some new stories like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Have we talked about? Have you read Ender's Shadow?
That's the one that's like
it's all from Bean's perspective. Yeah.
I haven't read that one, but I've read like Speaker of the Dead.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first trilogy is what I've read.
Yeah, totally. Speaker for the Dead, I loved. I thought it was awesome. Xenocide, I thought it was good. And then by the time I got to Children of the Mind, it like totally lost me. It was too abstract.
Yeah.
I would go, after you read stuff from Chris Evans, obviously, but if you're looking for something to read, Ender's Shadow, I might have liked it more than Ender's Game. I don't know that it's a better book than Ender's Game, but I think I enjoyed the character of Bean maybe more than the character of Ender and just the way it's developed and really, really interesting. So, and it's a lot more of an accessible, like that quartet is much more accessible than kind of the main Ender quartet just because it doesn't get,
okay.
It gets crazy, but it kind of sticks with Bean just trying to make Earth be okay. So anyway, well, I've got a Christopher Evans I want to talk about.
Cool.
So this guy is Christopher Evans. He does go by Christopher Evans. He's the Reverend Professor Christopher Francis Evans.
Solid name.
Yeah, right. I keep pulling out these guys with some sweet titles and names, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he was a fellow of the British Academy. He was born in 1909.
Yeah.
He was an English man. He was a chaplain and theologian. And his kind of specialty as he was working on theology was the New Testament. So he was kind of known in his day as an authority on the New Testament of Scripture. And so as he, you know, taught the New Testament, he was a lecturer at at Oxford for a little while. He was made an emeritus fellow, so was kind of seen to be in high standing there at that school. He was kind of influenced by a guy named Edwin Clement Hoskins, who encouraged emphasis on the literary forms used in the Bible. So like songs, proverbs, okay. stories, not so much the content of scripture, although I'm sure he did teach on that. But the more I know about academia, the more I realize about how it's just about specialization. It's about looking at one very small area of study and becoming super, honestly, becoming the world's foremost expert on that small area. His life's work essentially was this massive detailed commentary on the Gospel of Luke,
okay.
which so he's born in 1909, right? Guess when his gospel, guess what year his commentary on the Gospel of Luke was published?
So 1901, I mean, I'm going to put
1909. He's born in 09.
1909. Okay. So, let's say 1945.
He was published in 1990. He worked for 80 years on this commentary. Yeah. It's crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was published in 1990, which was long after he retired. So it wasn't even like it was published when he was, you know, still teaching, still in school. He worked on it even afterwards. Wasn't published until 1990, which is crazy. He actually, he did not die until 2012 at the age of 102. He lived to 102. He celebrated his 100th birthday at the college that he taught at in Oxford in 2009. Can you imagine being able to celebrate your 100th birthday at the place that you worked and then still living for a few years after that? It's nuts.
100. Oh man. I mean, just like his, I'm just trying to imagine him hand up this, like, I can't tell the size of the book, but I'm sure
probably
it's a huge, big,
probably
large,
massive. Yeah.
And he's just like, here's my life's work.
It's as big as I am. It weighs more than I do now because I'm 102 years old and I'm withering away slowly.
It's definitely a, like old parchment papers, like the beginning of the story. It's just like the time changed and so did the paper.
It's written
the story.
In pen at the beginning and then it's like typed out in Word at the very end.
Yes, exactly.
Just changing. So anyway, just kind of a cool testament to like dedication and hard work. He was married to his wife, who they were married until 1980. They had one son, Jonathan, who also became, who followed his father into holy orders, so he became a priest. But he was born in 1909. He got married in 1941, so that's 32 years. Got married when he was 32. And then his wife died in 1980, and then he died in 2012. So he lived for another 32 years. He actually struggled a lot with his wife's death and dealing with it, living for 32 years without her. But also understand that for 10 years after she died, he would continue to work on this, his magnum opus, this massive, literary commentary on the Gospel of Luke. Just like interesting, a couple of interesting stories from his life. In 1938, he kind of came back to the college that he had taught at, and he was a member of the teaching staff, and he taught even during World War II. It says that they struggled because they had less students coming in, but also because of the interference of bombers in the nearby airspace. So he's like, you know, teaching class and there's bombers nearby because it's World War II.
And people complain about going to class in snow.
Yeah. How about, okay, we can go to class in snow. How about the Blitzkrieg? You're going to go to class during the Blitzkrieg, right?
I think, it's like, hey, they're shelling about 500 or 50 miles away. I don't know if we should be here.
It doesn't matter. We gotta look at these Psalms right quick. We gotta make sure we understand this. This is important. Yeah, so anyway, Chris Evans is just kind of a cool legacy, cool testament to hard work and dedication. Probably not super well known, even in his own realm, more humble, but very interesting in the way that he was persistent and contributed a lot to scholarly pursuits.
Okay, ready for my next one?
Yes, absolutely I am.
Okay, so this Christopher Evans, and I keep calling him Christopher Evans because that's, I guess, how they're appropriately named.
Right.
So this guy, I got so excited when I read about this just because he is in the film world a lot. And so he is an American artist / digital matte painter.
Okay.
Do you know what that is, Davis?
It's like a person who paints digitally, but in a non-glossy way.
Yes. Yes, basically. So the idea is for matte paintings, if you ever see movies with these like big sceneries, you know, you'd some that they would traditionally they would be paintings by an artist. I went and looked at just a ton of these and they're just incredibly detailed. That's the thing that you always pulled up, like one of the big ones. It actually was done by this Christopher Evans guy that I always remember is that there's a scene at the end of Empire Strikes Back where Lando and Han are having this conversation in front of the Falcon about like, is it okay if I take her? And so, but basically that whole background, he painted that background.
Interesting. Like Falcon.
Yeah. So, so this guy, he's a pretty cool guy. He was born, in 1954 in Bremerton, Washington. He graduated 1977, which do you know what happened in 1977?
Star Wars came out, right?
Star Wars came out. So, and this keeps playing back into it. So,
I mean, I'm sure there are other things that happen in 1977, but because you and I are both big nerds, that's what we both think of.
That's what we both think of, exactly. And so 1977 was a great year for film. So he graduated 1977 from UCLA, both with a bachelor's and later on with a master's in fine arts. He leaves college, you know, he sees Star Wars, he sees Empire Strikes Back. Big part of Empire Strikes Back is Cloud City, very iconic kind of scenery, and so that's all matte painting as well. And so he really liked the style, and so he went to submit his work to George Lucas George Lucas's company, Industrial Light and Magic, or ILM. And he just sent in some work and was offered a position as a matte painter for them. And it's like, man, getting to work with this company would have been the dream. Right. So he started working on them. He actually got to work on Return of the Jedi again, as we said, with the Falcon picture and whatnot. And so he left working for ILM and continued on at a company known as Digital Matte World or Matte World Digital. He then contributed work for the Green Mile, Titanic, and Benjamin Button. He's known for I've never actually seen the Titanic. This one's really? Always going to escape me. I've never seen the Titanic.
What?
I don't know. I do know how. I've not seen it for so long, and I'm like, why should I? I get it. I understand what happens. At this point, everyone's told me what happens. I don't really care to see it. But they're like, end shot of the boat coming to save them, like that's his work. He won an Emmy for an outstanding special visual effects for his work on the Ewok adventure, and that's probably the only Emmy that this thing ever won.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I looked it up because I was like, how do I not know what the Ewok right. adventure is? And I was like, that's why I don't ever know about it, because it's one of those like, we have some extra money. We're jumping off the Star Wars bandwagon. Right, let's create this thing. So
hilarious.
But he got an Emmy for that. And so, yeah, he's since retired. He does more work now and just kind of like art pieces and whatnot. One of his artworks that's pretty well known is it's called the New York in the Light of Memory.
Yeah.
Which is basically this picture of like the city of New York from the perspective of the South World Trade Center Tower. It's a gorgeous painting. I looked it up, and it's just absolutely stunning picture. So yeah, so he's just done a lot of cool work.
Okay. Awesome. Very cool. I love that. That's really, really fascinating. I think it's cool that it lines up with a lot of stuff that you love, and are into. So okay.
I was trying so hard, and I was like, it's got to be something. I was checking out both their IMDb pages, just hoping that him and Chris Evans would have like passed in
at some point. Yeah, would have come together to do something. Yeah, that's awesome. Because
they definitely have crossover work, but yeah. Nothing where it was like, you know, maybe just like 2 degrees south kind of thing.
That like Chris Evans never painted Chris Evans in a picture or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like maybe he was in like an obscure movie that he happened to paint some scenes in. Yeah. But
maybe we should submit a an idea to, you know, Hollywood Incorporated, that Hollywood, the company that makes all the movies, you know, Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, the Hollywood. Hollywood.
We should submit our idea that Chris Evans should play Chris Evans in a movie about his life and in the film industry. Maybe we should submit that.
I was going to say, this needs to be our thing. every week we need to make somehow make a movie pitch. Last week we had one on
about these different these different people playing each other in movies.
Yes, and trademark all these until somebody listens and picks those.
That's our idea. You can't have them. Hilarious. Okay, I have one more, and then we'll start wrapping up.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so my Chris Evans is he's actually an outlaw. So you think, like, you ever seen Tombstone, the movie? You need to see it. One of my all-time favorites. Tombstone's dope. But you'd think the quote-unquote cowboys in that movie, they're these outlaws. But really cool. So he was born in 1847. He was born in Canada. So he's a Canadian outlaw, which I feel like there's not too many of them.
Does it even count if he's from Canada?
Well, he lived in America, died in America. But he was Canadian. He came to America because if you're in Canada and you're an outlaw, the Mounties are going to get you. The Mounties, this is really interesting. There is only one military force in the entire world that has international jurisdiction. There's only one country's police force that has international jurisdiction, and it's the Canadian Mounties.
Really?
They are allowed to cross the northern U.S. border to retrieve Canadian convicts or suspects. Dang. Which is hilarious.
Wow.
But that's
either, they can only do it on a horseback, though, right?
Well, they're not allowed to get off of their horseback. That's where they sleep. That's where they eat. Yeah. That's where they shower. It's like Aragon, where you bond with the dragon, or Avatar. Yeah. You bond with the flying bug dragon things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your, when you have a mount, it's your mount for life, and that's you never get off. Yeah. They should cut your legs off to make sure you don't. Yeah, that's fact.
Those are prosthetic legs.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. That's neither here nor there. So Chris Evans, he was an American farmer. He turned outlaw. He was the leader of a gang called the Evans Sontag Gang. He was accused of robbing the Southern Pacific Railroad in California sometime between 1889 and 1892. And interestingly, he denied all along for his whole life. He denied that he'd ever robbed that train, which is interesting that he was accused of it. He was pursued for it. He killed a member of a posse outside of his home, and so, which he always said that he only ever killed in self-defense. But he fled to the Sierra Nevada mountains with his younger partner, John Sontag, which is where you get the Sontag of the Evans Sontag gang. And so they kind of hit out, and a couple of guys that wrote for the San Francisco Examiner, the newspaper, these guys were sort of writing about them as like these outlaw heroes, like kind of saying like these guys are, you know, innocent, they shouldn't be brought in. But they evaded capture for 10 months. So for 10 months, they hit out in the Sierra Nevada mountains. They ended up having a shootout with a posse at a cabin, which resulted in the death of that posse's leader, but also a man named McGinnis, who was a friend of Chris Evans, and then later on his partner John Sontag was fatally wounded in a battle called the Battle of Stone Corral, which is a great battle name, first of all.
Oh yeah.
At that battle, Evans himself got wounded. He lost an eye and his left arm in that fight. Wow. So that must have been a crazy fight. He was arrested. He was convicted of murder, and he was sentenced to life in Folsom State Prison in California, which is
obviously
the Johnny Cash prison. So not at the same time, but he was paroled in 1911. He was banished from California, died in Portland, Oregon. Again, denying that he ever robbed that train. He wrote a socialist book, which is interesting, called for expanded government to kind of check what he viewed as abuses of authority by the government, which, I mean, you can kind of understand that from a guy who pleaded his innocence and then was arrested. So Chris Evans, he died in Portland. He's buried in a cemetery there. Train robber, possibly. Outlaw, for sure. Socialist author, definitely.
Okay, Davis. So I have a question for you.
Okay, what's your question?
Who do you think deserves to be known as Christopher Evans?
It's a good question. I think there's some really interesting, fascinating guys on this list. I think that Christopher Evans, the theologian, just because he was alive for so long and did such good work, there's a part of me that's like, I want it. Like, because he sounds like a cool guy and like he worked so hard on one thing, like I wanted him to be the most famous one. I don't think he is. I don't think he will be. Honestly, I think if there was somebody who I would think like maybe should be the more famous one, just as far as like the quality of work and the recognition of the art that he does and how widespread the things that he's worked on have been. Honestly, dude, I think it might be Christopher Evans, the artist, the digital map painter. And the fact that he worked on Empire Strikes Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Titanic, The Green Mile, Benjamin Button, like people that are probably listening to us right now, or no one that's listening to us ever, because who would ever listen to us talk about all this random nonsense for so long? But let's assume that
hopefully
we
people
let's play the pretend game that we have an audience. I guess with the Avengers, with the popularity of the Avengers, it's I think Chris Evans, it's going to be hard to beat the level of exposure that he's had and how many people are familiar with him, specifically because of like the Avengers movies. Marvel movies. But I think if there is one, potentially it should be that, the artist and the digital matte painter.
I see what you're coming from, because I see, and one thing I didn't mention about like Chris Evans, the actor before, that I like about the guy, is he kind of went through this, like, I don't want to call it a renaissance, but I mean, he definitely went through this time before where like there's some no movies out there. I mean, he did like Not Another Teen Movie was pretty wildly popular when I was growing up. Perfect Score. I remember all these movies, Scott Pilgrim. And then, I mean, he kind of laid low for a few years, and then yes, now he's playing, you know, the Captain America, which it's almost like no one credits his movies before this time because it's all about these movies. Granted, he's been doing it for
totally,
I don't know, like 7 to 10 years as him. With that said, yes, it's kind of, those are big shoes to fill. I'm going to kind of steal your answer from last time. I think Chris Evans, The Outlaw, would be a really fun movie to watch. Yeah,
it would be an interesting story of like, especially if you could create the movie in such a way that it was a question of whether or not he robbed this train. Like if you as the audience didn't know either, if there was like some things that implicated him, but like maybe he didn't do it. I think that could be a really interesting way to set up that story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a very like a whodunit kind of, like if this is real or not. And so
totally.
Also, I think we're due for a pretty good Westerner, you know,
it's been a while. Bone we had Tomica. That. We had 310 to Yuma and Assassination of Jesse James like in the same month or so, like a few years ago, right?
Yeah. And then Bone Tomahawk came out.
What's the one that just came out this past year with Christian Bale and what's it called? We have had a couple. There was Winchester, was like a sort of a Western horror movie that just came out, and then
it was so bad.
Did you see it? I never saw it. I like kind of wanted
call it
to,
a Westerner. But I can long spiel on that one. Yeah, so
okay, hilarious.
But yeah, I just think, I mean, we're doing a new one for now. So, and they always do well in my book. I mean, it's kind of a fun world.
I mean, I love Westerns. I think they're great.
I think that would be an interesting movie to watch. And you're right. I think Chris Evans, the painter, he would probably do it for me too. I think that he has a, you know, very big notoriety, but he has this same curse of, you know, you're known for your work and that's like, you're not known for who you are, thing, you know? So, but as it stands, Chris Evans is still Chris Evans to me. And I think that he's
the one.
Right.
Chris Evans is the famous Chris Evans for a reason.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Davis, do you have anything else?
I don't think so, man. It's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Again, reach out to us. You can contact us via email, inawcast@gmail.com. Also on our Facebook page. Song credit goes for is Luminous by Broke for Free. So until next time.
Bye, everybody.